And a good Monday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, The Game. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, behind the glass on the ones and twos. Hope you're having a wonderful day so far. Jojo, hello. How was your weekend?
Great weekend, man. Football was fantastic. Watching the game Friday night, Indiana just dismantle Oregon was good. And then this weekend, man, every game, I mean, even last night's game, the Chargers and the Patriots was fantastic. So great weekend of wild card. It was just a really cool weekend. And
I feel like the last month of football has been
beautiful.
Just fantastic, both college and pro. It's just been awesome. It has been awesome to see. And in the words of Stone Cold Steve Austin, Indiana stomped a mud hole and walked it dry. That's exactly what they did Friday night.
That was something else. First play of the game, pick six, and then they just took over. It was unbelievable. I did not think – I mean, they beat them worse than they beat Alabama.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy cow, man. So now a week from the day, Indiana versus Miami. I was looking at the ticket prices down there. Good loud. I mean, they are expensive. But supply and demand, baby. You want to go, you're going to have to pay for it. And that's what they've gotten. But I really like it. It's going to be fun. Indiana-Miami, not too traditional. I mean, oh, Miami hasn't been there in 25 years or so. But it's still – not seeing Ohio State or Alabama or Michigan, you know, the usuals. I'm all for this next Monday.
I saw this on X, and I love little things like this. Do you know what premiered on ABC 60 years ago today?
Oh, let's see here. That'd have been 1966. Gilligan's Island.
Nope.
The Monkees.
Nope.
Mission Impossible.
Nope.
Not Happy Days. 60. Give me an actor.
Burt Ward.
Oh, Batman.
Yep.
Wow.
The original Batman. Adam West, Burt Ward. Obviously, Burgess Meredith was the Penguin.
Cesar Romero was Joker.
Yep. Lucy Neumeier was one of the cat women. There were three.
Right.
What was the Kit?
Yeah, that's right.
Or Judy, Judy Neumeier.
Oh, Eartha Kitt, I thought it was.
Wasn't it? Well, yeah. There was three of them. Okay. There was like.
Yeah.
And then the Riddler, I forgot who the Riddler was.
It was Frank Gorshin, Frank something.
Yeah.
He was very eccentric.
Yeah, so.
60 years, wow, I like that.
Isn't that crazy?
60 years ago.
I believe, is Burt Ward still alive?
He is, I don't think he is.
Okay, I think they all might be gone now.
They, and that was, what was the problem? They said Batman was originally to be a dark.
Yeah,
comic right.
It
book
was way too.
And they all like they all hated the TV show because
yeah.
It was like, oh, fluffy and fun, and he's a good guy, and all. I was like, no, that's not how this stuff
had
to
the bam smash
pow, everything else went on with it.
I loved it though. I thought it was great.
God, 60 years ago today, that's crazy.
I watched it, you know, as a kid, which at that point it had been off the air for 20 years.
I dig that, man. That's very cool.
Yeah. So there you go. That's your little fun fact of the day. But as you mentioned, with the NFL, you had the Patriots and Daddy Vrabel winning last night. They beat the Chargers 16-3. I want to just say this real quick. I don't want to hear this Justin Herbert playoff narrative. I get that it's there. That dude got his ass beat last night.
Yeah.
Like, he had no protection whatsoever.
Right. I mean, you got to have people to protect. It's the same that we saw the Titans all year. You got to have protection for your quarterback. He doesn't have it. I mean, so you're not going to do well at all when you don't have guys who can get open. You don't have time to get open. So, yeah, kudos to the Patriots for doing that and for getting after them. They know once you go. Cignetti said the other night, which is great, right? They said, how are you able to stop Dante Moore for Oregon? He's like, well, when you hit the quarterback a lot, takes him out of the game, he becomes ineffective. Pretty simple. I'm like, that's it. Pretty simple. Hit Herbert. Just keep hitting him and getting to him. You take him out of his game and his routine, it happens. It's happened throughout history. You take the that's why Al Davis became famous for it. The quarterback must go down. It must go down now. It must go down hard.
So a couple of quick thoughts on my end, and you tell me what you think on these games. I think the Patriots might be built for this. I was worried about experience, but they might actually be built for it. A.J. Brown has played his final game as an Eagle, in my opinion. That is done.
A dookie kick rocks.
He and Sirianni looked like they wanted
to – hit the road, you big baby.
Beat each other up.
Right.
San Francisco, I think, is a great story, but I think they're going to be too beat up. I mean, no Kittle now, and
don't care.
I know,
they just plug somebody else in there and go, man.
I'm sitting there watching. I thought Jacksonville was going to win because it was at home, and they maybe should have won, but I'm sitting there going, looking at Josh Allen, watching this game, going, if not now, then when? Yep. Like, if you can't win the whole thing without Burrow and Mahomes in the playoffs, then you're never going to win this thing.
He is the best quarterback in football by far.
I don't think there's an argument there.
He was so good on that last drive, man.
Green Bay fans deserve to be upset. You're up 21-3. You lose 31-27. Inexcusable.
Mm-hmm.
And now supposedly they're working on an extension for Matt LaFleur. Good. So, you know. But good for the Bears. I mean, they turned it on in the fourth quarter and won the game.
It's a good team.
I think the Rams played with their food a little bit, and you had Carolina that was just so excited to be there that they gave all they had, and all they had wasn't enough, which is kind of what I expected.
Yeah, but don't – I mean, Stafford.
Oh, yeah.
Just say Stafford. Yeah, I mean, Stafford. That guy's so
with a
good.
With a hurt hand.
Well, he's so good,
I mean,
man.
Like, he wasn't even 100%.
Right.
And then one more game tonight is Houston will be in Pittsburgh in what I believe will be the final game for Aaron Rodgers.
I think Pittsburgh wins going away.
Do you really?
Uh-huh. Houston's offense is so bad that I think Pittsburgh could stop that. And then if you can make a little momentum on that Houston defense, which is fantastic, you win that game 13-7 something.
Hmm. Well, I mean, underdogs have pretty much run the weekend.
Yeah, I want to see Pittsburgh go to New England next week. I want to see that game.
Yeah.
Steelers and Patriots would be great.
That would be good. And then, kind of an old school battle.
And then Denver better watch out. I mean, Buffalo has got all the momentum. They don't care, man. They're just coming in playing with house money. And Allen's good, and that team just looks good. And, I mean, that was a great win yesterday.
The Titans coaching search, I mean, they're – Harbaugh is the only one that doesn't feel like they're in on. There's a supposed report that he's been looking at film of Jackson Dart and Cam Ward to kind of help narrow down his decision on what he's interested in. I mean, look, the guy can call a shot. So,
right.
You know, is it Miami? Is it Atlanta? Is it New York? You know, who is he interested in? I feel like Atlanta or New York, probably one of those two. With all this stuff that's been out there about the demands that he wants, I mean, they're not going to do that here. And quite frankly, they probably shouldn't.
I wouldn't. No, I like the Giants job for him.
Yeah.
I think he likes being in the spotlight. They'll give him anything that he needs to make him relevant again, and then he'll go to the Giants. He's not coming here. I did find it funny that Mike McDaniel interviewed here this weekend.
Yeah. Well, he's interviewing – I saw he's interviewing
Cleveland.
Somewhere else. Cleveland.
Yeah.
I think – there might be a chance he just goes ahead and gets another job.
I went at the airport for 3 hours for him on Saturday.
Did you really?
No, I did not. Juju. No, I just thought, I don't know, man, that he's so quirky and it ended so badly down there. I think OC's his next job. But, hey, if somebody wants, like, I could see the Browns hiring him. Like, you work with Shador.
Okay, well,
figure it out.
Would you rather, if you're
– would you rather?
There's 8 jobs open, right? Would you rather – hire one of these coordinators, the hot coordinators that I would say these coordinators aren't as hot to trot as maybe they were last year or the year before. Like everybody wanted Ben Johnson. Like everybody was just salivating for Ben Johnson. And look how that's worked out. Liam Cohen, kind of the same thing.
Really good.
Look how that's worked out.
Yep.
I don't feel like that's there for a Joe Brady or a Lafley or, you know, who are some of the others?
Shula, Mentor.
I mean, so I almost feel like a McDaniel or a Sala or these guys, and I know Sala's a coordinator now, but these former head coaches, these retreads, as people like to call them, might be more intriguing than some of the first-time head coaches.
I agree to that. I think so. But I think, to me, the Titans have already made their mind up. They've already got Matt Nagy.
I'm not 100% sure yet. Because
doubt in my mind.
I mean,
unless he gets a job someplace else first.
Well, why? I mean, I know they've – I think they interviewed him with the virtual interview. Why not just bring him in?
I don't know.
Did Borghani's like, I know him. So.
Yeah, could be, right? Yeah. I mean, there are going to be no new candidates, I think. There's the whole list of candidates out there now.
Stefanski, I think, is going to be, like, I think it's Harbaugh, Stefanski, and then everybody else.
Okay. I can see that. But, again, the relationship Borghanti's got with Nagy, that's your guy, man. And I'll be shocked if he's not the next head coach here. And the only reason he would not be unless he got another job. I find that Vegas job intriguing with the number one pick.
I think it's intriguing.
And then you got Brady talking to you. And you know, why would you not listen to Tom Brady? Why would you not? And I know he was all in on a quarterback a few years ago that was terrible. And I get all that. But you're not going to hit all of them. But they want Mendoza. And that's what they're going to do. And you got what you're going to work with. Now you build outwards from there. And so I think that'd be a job to look forward to. But like Atlanta, I think, is a good job. It just doesn't appeal to me. I
don't know. Arthur Blank giving off some bad vibes with some of the decisions. Like, they have – the 28-3 thing, like, wrecked that franchise.
Right.
It absolutely wrecked that franchise. And they have not been able to come back from it.
I did not know Matt LaFleur was on that Falcons staff that lost the Super Bowl.
He was with Kyle Shanahan.
Yep. I had no idea. There was a picture.
I think Brian Schottenheimer was on that staff too.
I don't remember. It just said.
What year was that?
The 2016 season, and it said the biggest comeback in the playoffs, whatever, was the Atlanta New England Super Bowl, and now it was like here's the number one. Or the next one is this Green Bay Chicago game. So it'd be the 2016 team. They put a picture out of him and Matt Ryan on the sideline.
You know who a national scout for that team was?
I'm going to say Nonny Frazier.
Rustin Webster.
Was he really? Hey, man, who do you like out there?
Scott Pioli was the assistant GM. So Raheem Morris was the assistant head coach, wide receivers. Kyle Shanahan was the OC. LaFleur was quarterbacks. Keith Carter was assistant offensive line.
Wow.
Mike LaFleur, offensive assistant. Mike McDaniel, offensive assistant. Let's see if anybody else stands out. Those are the big ones.
Who's it?
Jeff Ulbrich, right? Was linebacker. Yeah.
Was the defensive coordinator?
Mm-hmm. No, he was head coach.
Head coach, sorry.
Yeah. Who Richard Smith was the defensive coordinator.
Oh, Richard Smith.
Yep.
No idea who that guy is.
What is our question of the day?
All right, it's pretty simple. Are you or are you not rooting for Mike Vrabel to win the Super Bowl? Are you or are you not rooting for Mike Vrabel to win the Super Bowl? And I ask this because I talk to people and I have gotten the ones that I've talked to like last 24 hours can't stand Mike Vrabel, want him to lose. But we go on this radio show and all the texts we get are people like, yeah, we want Mike Vrabel to win a Super Bowl. So are you rooting yes or no for Mike Vrabel to win a Super Bowl? I am, because I just think it's a great story. Taking a really bad football team last year, turn them around. And the after effect is to Amy Adams Strunk, right? I mean, that's going to be – see, your guy holding the Super Bowl trophy, which you fired 2 years ago, will be something else. So are you or are you not rooting for Mike Vrabel to win the Super Bowl? 615-737-1025.
I said this. I mean, Dr. Crane could go back and find it. I said in the middle of the summer, I'm kidding, you don't have to, but in the summer, I was like, I hope they run the table. I hope he comes in here and whips that ass. I hope he wins the whole thing.
But we thought maybe 8-9, 7-10, they might get
into the playoffs. They might get into the playoffs. I didn't think they'd be one of the top two seeds in the AFC.
Yeah. Right. It's
and
crazy.
Like, I watched that team last night going, they can win the whole damn thing if they want to. Drake May's legit.
It's. I listened to the radio call last night for a little bit, and they were talking to Vrabel. They had Jack Gibbons after the game. So, what do you think about Vrabel? And he was like, da, da, da. And so what does he tell you? You know, before the game, it's like he says, not what he tells. It's just the presence that he has. And then they laughed about after the game. So we're laughing at Matt LaFleur's handshake with Ben Johnson. Remember that? Yeah. So Vrabel does the same thing.
Yeah.
But Vrabel's got a purpose. You know why he does a quick handshake? He goes into the tunnel.
Yeah, because he wants to meet the players.
Every single player. And they're allowed. He's like, he says every player's name and looks him in the eye. And then Gibbons is like, how do you not want to give everything you got for that guy?
And look at who his dudes are, especially on defense. Robert Spillane, former Titan. Harold Landry, former Titan. Dr. Gibby, former Titan.
Uh-huh.
I think there's even a few others on there
as
well. But, I mean, like, these guys that maybe, except for Landry, that we looked at as scrubs here are, I mean, Spillane's going to get paid a ton of money.
Right?
And I'll tell you this, because you know how this works, that everybody has an ego and stuff. Josh McDaniels should never get another shot at being a head coach. But if this keeps up, he will, because that's just how it works, because you're going to have some owner and some GM that it's like, yeah, it didn't work. You know, I mean, the Raiders were a screwed up franchise. The Broncos didn't have their stuff together when he was there. But by golly, my franchise is good. Well, he'll be great here. They should pay him head coach money to just stay there and be the OC the rest of his life.
$3 million a year. I'll sit there. I'm familiar with everything and do all that. He's doing a hell of a job, man.
I mean, he's now developed. I mean, I like Drake May coming out of Carolina. But now, I mean, he's legit. He's a legitimate, will probably be an MVP candidate next year.
Remember what our boy told us back in August, Tim Hasselbeck?
Yeah. He's always liked him.
He's like, they're going to be good because they got Drake May. We're like, Tim, they went 4-13 last year. Not really good. I'm not going to do it. He's like, I'm telling you right now, they got a quarterback. And, of course, you and me are like, whatever.
Well, turns out Tim knows.
Yeah, right.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And our question of the day is presented by Aries Tactical, your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com. I'll give my answer coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. It is a Reaction Monday, and it's brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. React to the whole weekend, 615-737-1025. Also on the YouTube chat, on X at 102.5 The Game. You can hit us up in a lot of different
places. I mean, it's probably easier to name places where we're not.
That's true.
Right? Where we're not. Probably not.
Probably not. But we're everywhere. We're radio, YouTube, X, all these things.
The whole Vrabel thing makes me happy, right? And because otherwise it'd be some coach in New England we're not talking about, and they're, hey, the Patriots are doing their thing again. But, I mean, all the time that he was here and all the sound bites we got from him. And
don't do dumb that hurt the team.
By far being his best one.
And, you know, Tirico last night even mentioned – after the game, his speech and when he got inducted to the Patriots Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Back in October of 23, which I still think.
That definitely helped.
That started
wrong. So I was in for our buddy Greg Pogue this weekend doing his one-on-one show on Saturday mornings. And Teron came over to Roy's Meat Service and did the show with me. And we were talking about when they went to Baltimore and won that playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if you went with Channel 4 or not.
Did
I don't
not.
Think you did, but – after the game, like, we go down to the locker room and the players are all coming in, and I believe that was like one of the first times that he stood there and literally hugged or shook every player's hand, but said that by name. He had tears in his eye, like that was the kind of guy, you know, he was. And that was the first time I've really seen that, and I was like, okay, yeah, this is a dude that I get why. Like, can he be prickly with the media? You know, was there times where he'd piss us off? Sure, absolutely. But that was a player's coach.
Sure.
And now you're seeing it in New England. Now, sure. When they're not winning, he's got a little bit of a different attitude. And that's what we saw towards the end here. Because that's a guy, and he even said it, he hates to effing lose.
Yeah. That was their first win since their Super Bowl win over the Rams.
A playoff win, yeah.
In 2018. Yeah, the first playoff win.
Yeah, they said the date, like January something, 2019, was the last time they'd won in the playoffs.
That's right. So, I mean, he's come back home, and he's there, and I think it's a great story.
Or February. Man. February 3rd, 2019, that's what it was.
I think it's a great story.
615-737-1025, are you rooting for Vrabel? Absolutely, I'm rooting for Vrabel. And I do wonder, we'll never know the truth, ever. Not in a million years. But I do wonder if all of this has woken Amy Adams Strunk up a little bit.
To what?
That maybe it is on me. Again, we'll never know the truth. She'll never admit it.
Not a chance in hell. But she is so insulated with her people. All she gets is good news.
Yeah. I'm just saying, maybe there's a little bit of that. or there is somebody within the organization now that has enough cachet with her, you know, that they've had this conversation. Now they probably, I hope by now they've already moved on. Like, you got to focus on the future now. And she's made the right move by putting Borgonzi in charge and then staying out of it. And she has backed out of the spotlight. Now, if she wants to be, you know, I have no issue with her wanting to meet the, you know, the finalists for the coach.
It's her team.
That's her team. I'm like that. I got no issue with that. Like, I would be the same way. Like, yeah, I kind of want to get to, I want to talk to you before. But then it's, you know, Borgonzi comes here and goes, all right, I want to hire Big Joe. And I go, all right, I support you on it. You know, now if you ask my opinion, like, who'd you like? And I say, well, I kind of liked Nick.
She can't
but,
do it.
But you need to let the football people.
She is.
Which is exactly what she did with John Robinson.
She's J-Rob, her father's daughter, man.
J-Rob hired the guy he wanted. And Borgonzi needs to do the same. 615-737-1025. Jack, somewhere in Nashville, wants to make a Vrabel comment. Jack, what's up?
I am all in with Joe. The whole nine yards. I think if they didn't win another game right now, Mr. Kraft would still be thrilled, money ahead, the whole thing. But from, if they were to push through and him win a Super Bowl right off the dang bat, you bet it'd be a cold night out there in the Texas countryside outside of Houston. You can't get to the bank.
I don't think it would hit her still. I really don't. I think she is so aloof and withdrawn from everything. I don't think it would matter to her. I got rid of him and he needed to be gone. I just think she is her father's daughter. That's the way he did things. You look, he's got the history Bud Adams did of doing things like that. I don't like better. We're better off that he's gone. I bet she said that 1,000 times.
You think she'll ever get around to doing the double bird from the owner's box?
That'd be nice. I hope so.
When they play the Patriots
in New England,
even better. Thanks,
oh,
Jack.
Man. You know that's where they need to bring in Stefanski, and you know why?
No,
he's already got a lot of experience dealing with a crazy owner.
Yeah,
you're right.
All right, Jack. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Joe, I have good news for you.
Yeah.
I just saw this post. It was posted an hour ago on X by the Atlanta Falcons.
I thought it had something to do with Miami Vice reboot. Nope.
All it is, it's a video of a locker, and it has the current jersey hanging there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a hand comes in and takes it away. And then it says April 2026. They're getting new uniforms. And the rumor is, they might be going back.
They need to go back. The black Falcons jerseys are awful. And I get why Glanville did that. He wanted to change it with MC Hammer in the early 90s. I get all that. But the red Falcons helmet and the red Falcons jersey, I mean, pump that into my veins.
Beautiful. See, I like the black jersey with the red helmet.
I'm not a fan of the black jerseys at all. I just the white and the red was so iconic to me. Yeah, and I know they didn't win any Super Bowls back in the 70s and 80s. I get all that.
They didn't win any.
Yeah, right, in the 90s or 2000. But that red helmet, man, is just fantastic. And, of course, the iconic one is the Patriots. And, look, last night, watching the Flying Elvis, that's good. But bring those other jerseys out, man, are just something else. But good. All right. New jerseys.
Yep, so there you go.
That'll be the Titans a year from now. New jerseys.
I've even seen rumors that it could be this year. That they go into the last year of this stadium with
no, they can't do that. No. Go back and go in next year. Do the big unveiling. Bring back, you know, I know Frank's no longer with us, but bring back Blaine and Eddie and Craig Hendrick.
Yep.
And just make a big celebration of that.
It'd be cool.
It would be.
It'd be really cool. 615-737-1025. We will discuss more of this, including the Titans coaching search coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 1025 The Game.
Mike Sigmund need to win for a lot of reasons.
Expand on.
Because it sucks to lose, Gentry.
Trey ever need to show you anything?
Did you have another thought or no? I'm just curious.
Why?
It sucks.
Is that
losing? Awful. That's why I want to win.
A classic. Mike Vrabel. Sucks to lose.
Oh,
and also so Trey good. Avery. We love that.
I told you my favorite Vrabel one is he wanted everybody to sit in front of him, and I don't think you were there that day, but David Beauclair was to the right. Yeah. And he said, hey, why don't you go stand over there? And Beauclair's like, no, I want to stand right here. And Vrabel looked at Robbie Bourne, the old PR guy, was like, can you? And then Robbie didn't know what to do. He was frozen in time. And Beauclair just had his leg up against the wall and his toothpick in and sat there and says, I'm fine here. And it drove Vrabel insane that David Beauclair did not do what he said. So always shout out to our man David Beauclair for not giving in to some dumb demand from Vrabel and all that.
Most of the people on the text line have said they're rooting for Vrabel.
Isn't that crazy? But when people I talk to are like, I don't care about it. I hope he loses. But then, again, we come on this radio show, it's like 90% people rooting for Vrabel.
Yeah.
But why are you rooting for him? Why are you rooting for – Chase McCabe asked, why are you rooting for Mike Vrabel to win the Super Bowl?
Because, I mean, my true reason is it because I think she made a mistake by firing him, and so it just proves that. If he goes in his first year with his new team, 2 years after being fired from here.
Right.
And look at what they did this offseason. Now, they had the quarterback, and I think everybody thought he was a pretty good quarterback after his rookie year. But you go and retool the roster in 1 year.
1 year.
Building around the quarterback, and then now you're in the divisional round of the playoffs, at least.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
And so it proves it can be done. I mean, look at the Patriots, look at the Bears, look at the Jags. Who else am I leaving out? The Panthers.
Yeah, Panthers are good.
Those are four teams that weren't in the playoffs last year that retooled and got back in a year. And three of those have new head coaches.
Yeah, right? And I think it's a great thing. My thing with Vrabel, though, is I like him because he is – sorry, there's a name of a restaurant that got – somebody tried to burn down, and I can't stop the bottom line. Look at that. Somebody tried to burn down a restaurant in Nashville, and I'm not going to repeat the name of the restaurant on the air.
Did you get it?
I did get a picture of it. Yeah. Dr. Craig, you see it?
Oh, I saw it. Yep. It was up there on the screen. Big gold letters.
I'm sorry that somebody tried to burn it down, but
my God.
Sorry, Chase.
I was watching this all unfold, and Chase is putting out a really good statement here, and Joe's eyeballs are just glued to the screen.
I like to make eye contact most of the time. I look up, I'm like, oh, somebody tried to burn a restaurant down in Nashville. What restaurant? And I go down, I'm like, yeah, we're not going to mention that restaurant on air. We're good.
Do we think that's what we like to call a typo?
No, that's a real place.
Is it really?
It's a real place on... You can, on First Avenue going downtown, it's a real – I pass it when I do the Omni, when I'm coming down from Donaldson, I pass it every week. You could look it up. It's a real
– okay. All right.
So I'm with you on the Vrabel part, but I'm also part of this. Vrabel is an old school coach, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't want to be your buddy. He wants to coach, and he loves you to death. The fact that a coach like that could win the Super Bowl in today's world of I want to be your buddy, I'm going to be your buddy, we're all buddies – I think it's fantastic. And then the second line is, I think it looks just awful for Amy Adams Strunk.
2298, definitely not rooting for Coach Meathead. His coaching hires got him fired here beyond abysmal. So the crappy roster had nothing to do with it. The bad front office had nothing to do with it. I mean, yeah, look, I'm not going to disagree with you. I think he made some bad assistant hires. But here's the funny part. Half those guys are with him in New England.
Right.
So
it's something else,
it's
man.
It's not – I mean, now – you know, it some key positions. You know, he's got Josh McDaniels as offensive coordinator, where he had Todd Downing and Tim Kelly. His last few years here, so I'll give you that one. Keith Carter is not the O-line coach. Forget who it is, but I mean, he's got people
right
there that we questioned here. So, I mean, I think roster has everything to do with it.
I'm with you, man.
Let's see. Chad wants to weigh in on Mike Vrabel. Chad, what you got?
Hey, good stuff. I think you hit the nail on the head there with Vrabel. You know, the old school coach doing it the old school way, you know, making it work is kind of why you try to take all that petty stuff out of there, but that's actually why you pull for him. But, you know, the Patriots didn't build this in 1 year. I mean, from the time that Brady was gone to now when they've got an MVP-caliber quarterback, you know, that was, what, 5-6 seasons of garbage there. So it has taken a while, and losing will help you do that. But this all comes down to the quarterback. It really to me, it's still understated how much the NFL is a quarterback league unlike anything else. It's the hardest position to play in sports. The quarterback touches the ball on every play. And in a salary cap era, if you don't have, and history will show this with very little exceptions in today's NFL, if you don't have the absolute elite top 3-5 quarterback, you're playing for second. And modern-day history shows that. And now that they have an MVP, you know, he's a finalist for the MVP. They got an MVP quarterback. That's the difference. It's really the roster comes with it in the salary cap era, in theory. It's all quarterback. And, you know, these guys argue, well, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. That was 25 years ago, and that's the exception.
Right.
And you don't get those defenses put together like you did with the Ravens. You don't get those defense like the 85 Bears with the salary cap. It is all quarterback, period.
No, I'm with you. And real quick before you go, to dispute you, but in 21, first round, they drafted Mac Jones. Terrible. In 22, yeah, they drafted a guard from Chattanooga, Cole Strange. Gone. So they've only had, like, 3 really decent drafts to turn this around, and they turned it, and they did it.
Well, it's a tiny sample size when you draft. When you're talking about 2 first-round picks. Matt Jones is potentially – Matt Jones is one of those tier guys that we're seeing like potentially a Sam Darnold who's not ready to play quarterback at 21, 22 years old. They need 5 years of learning. You know, it's – guys aren't ready to play at the highest level. Vikings drafted Dallas Turner, and everybody said he was a bust. He was 21 years old. Now he's turning and he looks like he might be the next Micah Parsons the way he was as he turns 22, 23 years old. So it's a small sample size when you talk about picking 2 picks, you know, in 21 and 22.
Yeah,
it's
but you said that roster was built in 4 to 5 years. I mean, you got first-round picks who aren't contributing anything. I'm just saying the job that they did of identifying parts, building, bringing people in, the Landry, the Gibbons, the Spillane, guys like that, Vrabel turned all that around in a year. They were terrible last year, right? Or they're 4-13.
Yeah, you're 4-13, but you've got pieces in place. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say I know their roster up and down.
Right.
But you know, they lost. It'd be different. It'd be different if they had the dynasty and then it dropped out in 23, and then they had one down year, and then Fraber comes in. You know, there was 5 years of down football. 5 years of down football allows you to build your roster, and I'm not going to sit here and say I know their roster well enough, but my whole point is, and you brought up good points across the board there, so I'm not going to disagree with you.
No, I get you.
But my whole point is, if they don't have, if they got Matt Jones playing quarterback, they're probably not this far. My point is, you've got to have a top 5 quarterback. These guys say they want to win with a top 10, and I don't know how you get one. You know, Cam Ward's never going to be a top 3 quarterback in the NFL. So, you know, then that may be the bottom line with the Titans. And that's where it starts and almost ends with very few exceptions, bro.
You got it, man.
Thanks,
appreciate
Chad.
You.
Appreciate
good
the call.
Stuff, guys. Good stuff. I appreciate y'all.
Absolutely. Good stuff by you. Eric wants to weigh in on the playoffs. Eric, what you got?
Oh, no.
Hey, guys. Oh, Joe, don't worry. First of all, I want to say is I had a friend of mine who hurt his leg in a pickup basketball game Friday. He had to go for a doctor's appointment today. He's in a walking boot right now. He's got a tear in his leg, and he's also got a going to have to go through that in 6 months physical therapy. He's not going to need the surgery, but guess who we ran into while I was at his doctor's appointment today?
George Kittle.
No, Cam Ward.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I texted him and said, did he get to say hi to him? I haven't heard back from him yet, but just a little bit of interesting tidbit because we're part of a good group check from my Bible study group because we go to the same church. But anyway, guys, as far as playoffs, I wanted to talk about 2 games, the Bears, Packers, and then the Eagles and the 49ers. Packers, they're probably also going to be looking for a new kicker. The guy missed 2 field goals, extra point, because he was considered missed automatic. And I agree, the Packers never should have blown that game, whether Michael Parsons was there or not. You had that lead. You can't do that. But somebody was joking around and said the only reason the Bears won, of course, was Pope Leo. Bears fan, of course, they had the T-shirts at the games on Saturday night. So this is some divine intervention. And Caleb Williams already is like second as far as touchdown passes tied with Jim McMahon. And the lead is like Sid Luckman, I think, was 7. So if he keeps it up, he'll eventually break that record. But as far as the Eagles, There's two main things I want to talk about. First, A.J. Brown and Sirianni. A.J. Brown is gone from Philadelphia. I'd be shocked if he's back there next year. And I've heard people saying this morning, oh, he's come back to Tennessee or bring back Tennessee. Don't see that happening, guys. I still think about the comment he made when he kind of said the media here was tough here in Nashville. And then when he got traded to Philadelphia, I still laugh at that. But I think the fans are kind of fed up with him, too. He's still got 2 years left on his deal. I just don't see him and Sirianni being there. And as far as Sirianni, guys, I've never thought the guy's a great coach. It's just – and look what happened. You had Shane Steichen there as your offense coordinator. You get to Super Bowl next year. The offense struggles and everything. And, of course, everybody wanted to find him then. Then you get Kellen Moore. You get to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl. Then he leaves. Offense struggles again. He's just terrible at making adjustments. I think he needs a good offensive coordinator to help him because if he can't get a good one, they're going to fire him. And I was really out on him when I guess it was a home game. I don't remember who the opponent was or what the situation was, but he took his kids in the press conference so he wouldn't get grilled by the media because it kind of deflects stuff. So I've never been a real big fan of Sirianni. I just, guys, those are my thoughts. Y'all take care and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Eric.
My man.
Appreciate it.
Good job, Eric.
We'll react to that and more coming up next. Chasing Big Joe on this Monday, 102.5 The Game.
Why are you holding your hands like that?
I'm trying to get a question in here.
Well, then ask the question. Don't. No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. Our question of the day, are you rooting for Mike Vrabel?
To win the Super Bowl.
To win the Super Bowl. To win it all. To win the whole.
And, you know, the caller before talked about the Patriots, and I get that. You know, I mean, it takes some time to build things, but, I mean, they were 4-13 last year, right? And so they got the quarterback to come in there, and you plug a few places in there. Then you plug a coach in there who knows what he's doing and gets assistant coaches that knows what he – I mean, it's a recipe for success. But it all – the caller's right. It all goes back to the quarterback. To the quarterback. If you don't have a quarterback, you're not getting anywhere. That's the bottom. Look at Caleb Williams. Look at Stafford. Look at the way Brock Purdy played yesterday. Look at the way Drake May played. I mean, it's just – and Josh Allen, it's the old saying. I mean, it's the quarterback. That's bottom line. That's it. If you got a bad quarterback, you're not getting anywhere. And so it's history's proven that being correct.
It 100% has. Let's go 615-737-1025. Adam in Portland on their question of the day. Adam, what you got?
I can't believe that 90% of the people are saying yes. That's weird to me, dude. Like, have they not won enough? Has Vrabel not won enough in his life? Like, the Bills exist, and their fans are awesome. And how could you not be pulling for Josh Allen this year? Like, I just don't understand it, man. Like, he gives the there's no place like home speech while he's our coach in New England, and everybody wants him to win there. Like, it's ridiculous, dude. Like, absolutely not. I mean, whatever. Everybody, to each your own if you want to pull for that. But that's insane to me. Like, there's no way I want him to win another game.
Oh, that's good, man. I get it.
No, I get it, too. I mean, there's going to be some people that are like, hell no, I'm not rooting for him. But
right. You know, yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
I just like he's the old school coach, man. He reminds me a lot of Ditka. I mean, he'll fight you in the parking lot. I love it.
Pat wants to talk about NFL quarterbacks. Pat, what's up?
Hey, Big Joe, it's Pat Cunningham. How are you, man?
What's up, Pat?
How are you?
I'm well.
Well, we had a conversation. So the guy was talking about having a top five quarterback. Okay, that to me, that's only part of the equation. Because you and I talked about this Indiana line. We had a conversation the other day, and to me, that is the reason why their success is because of that line. If you watch those guys play, they are like tied with a rope.
Yep.
And they're everything about them, their footwork, their handwork, everything. That is a well-coached line and is a very good line. And that's the reason why Mendoza is as good as he is, to me. He's a good quarterback, but he's not Justin Herbert, who was getting killed last night. That was the difference in that game. It's an offensive line that can – that can make the holes for the run game to pick up. It's an offensive line that protects you. So I agree you got to have a good quarterback, but I don't know that you got to have a top five. I think if you've got a top five line and you've got guys doing that for you and you've got a good running back and a good quarterback, you're going to have the same success. That's my opinion on it, and I'll hang up and let you guys yap.
I appreciate you, Pat. No, thanks, Pat. Chase and I have talked about that. I mean, the offensive line, I mean – you build that, you're correct all the way down the line, man. And you got a good – think about the Titans at offensive line in 99. Hopkins, Matthews, Benji Olson, Kevin Long, John Runyon. I mean, those dudes would fight you in the Costco parking lot. I mean, they didn't care. They were crazy. But that's what you got to have, and you're exactly right. You built Cam Ward, I think, is going to be a good quarterback, but we really don't know because he has no line to help him out. So once that's all taken care of, I think we'll see a different quarterback going down the line.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. But I guess the question for Titans fans has to be, can this group, you know, led by Mike Borgonzi, you know, turn this thing, and I'm not saying win the Super Bowl in a year, but, you know, make them a 7-win team, a 9-win team.
Right.
Can they do what Jacksonville, Chicago, New England, and Carolina have done?
Yeah, but Carolina was terrible last year. Patriots are terrible last year. But I'm telling you, if the Titans go with that fourth pick and they draft and tackle, the fan base is going to riot. I don't care how good the tackle is.
But I mean, look, the Patriots, I forgot where they took him, but they took
a tackle.
I think
he went fourth.
He's pretty darn good.
I just had it pulled up. Yeah.
But, I mean, look, you got to get some – I agree. I would prefer to get a playmaker. And, look, I'll put Denver in this conversation too. You know, Denver has had quite the turnaround. But you want a playmaker, but go get somebody that's going to help your team.
Yeah, Will Campbell was fourth for the Patriots.
And that turned out to be a pretty good pick.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it may not be sexy. You may not like it. But if there is a tackle at four that you think is the number one, right, is best for your team, and that's who they take, then okay.
It's so weird. Look at the Patriots drafts throughout their history. I mean, Mac Jones in 21. They didn't have one in 20, a first-rounder. But in 22, they took a guard out of Chattanooga. And he lasted 2 years with them and gone. And then, you know, then they got Christian Gonzalez, who's good, then Drake May, then Will Campbell. So you put the pieces together, make it happen. And now you look at, like, Harbaugh, what he's done with the Chargers. I mean, I know injuries are part of the game, but it's kind of like, all right, you get to a certain level.
Yeah.
I think that's about as good as he's going to get right there.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think there are legitimate questions when it comes to Herbert. You know, is Herbert truly elite? At this level.
Is Joe Flacco elite?
No.
He won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, you know. So did Trent Dilfer.
I refuse to speak that man's name.
Well, I'm just saying. Ben Johnson. I mean, there are.
Brad Johnson.
Brad Johnson.
By the way, do you see where his son's going? His son is now on his fifth school. He hit the portal. Georgia Southern.
Nice.
A&M, LSU, North Carolina, another school. And now he's heading to Georgia Southern on the portal. Crazy. But, yeah, I mean, Brad Johnson. But Brad Johnson doesn't
stick. Is Jalen Hurts elite?
It's a good one. Yes. Been to two Super Bowls.
I say he's not. I say he's really great. But I don't think he's elite.
What makes you elite?
I think.
Is there an elite quarterback right now? Mahomes?
Mahomes. I think Burrow's elite. But I think Burrow also needs, I mean, like, he needs protection, needs an offensive line. You know, I think if you plucked Burrow and Chase and Higgins and a couple of those guys up and put them on, you know, the Raiders or something, then probably a much better team.
It's good debate. I mean, it's, you know, and then I get the, like, you know, I love Marino. I think he's the best quarterback ever. And then the question comes in.
Is Lamar elite?
Didn't win a Super Bowl. I know that. But, yeah.
Two-time MVP.
I got to say, yeah, right?
I just think.
He didn't miss the field goal.
Yeah, I mean.
He didn't drop the pass.
I think what makes you elite is, can they replace you?
Good point.
And does your team, now your team can take a step back or whatever a little bit, but does your team miss a beat if they replace you? Like if you take Tom Brady away from those Patriots teams, they're not a dynasty.
I agree. Yeah.
If you take Peyton away from those Colts teams,
you're right.
No, they're not a dynasty. But you're talking
two of the best, man.
Well, but that's the point.
Right.
You take Mahomes off the Chiefs, they don't have those Super Bowls.
Yeah, you're right. So I don't, you know, it's a good debate. to see what they are and how well you lead the team. Like the Burrow question's great. That's a bad football team, but Burrow is an elite quarterback, so it's very confusing, almost like an oxymoron. I mean, it's kind of like,
what'd you call me?
Yeah, right. He is a great quarterback. He's an elite quarterback on a bad team.
Yeah.
So I'll stop using FRA and Father Ryan words.
That was good. 615-737-1025. It's Chase and Big Joe on this Monday. The national championship is set. We'll give our thoughts on that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 1025 The Game.